Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome. Happy Friday to you. I'm excited about today and my interview. You know, I've shared a bit so far in this podcast about my story with chronic pain and have also started to talk a lot about the mind-body connection and how it has impacted me. And it's impacted me so much that I'm actually beginning my certification process and am really passionate about helping others in some capacity, I'm not totally sure yet, about learning about neuroplastic pain in the mind-body connection. And so I'm really excited to have my guest today, Rose Covenant. She is a trauma-informed and somatic mind-body coach, and she has navigated her own journey with chronic pain and severe back pain, which she goes into, which just sounds really awful, as well as a lot of stories of some people that I know of just going through debilitating pain. It caused her to, you know, not be able to walk for really long bouts of time and just really have to change her lifestyle around a lot just to solely be able to function as best as she could with this debilitating back pain. So today we are going to talk about this topic of neuroplastic pain and the way that our brain and our nervous system have a much larger role to play in physical pain than maybe you've ever heard before. And so we're going to dive deep into the science and psychology of the brain, and it really is so powerful. I'm telling you, this stuff just fires me up. As a follower of Jesus, I am so passionate about learning how he created our brain and our body to function and to thrive. God made no mistakes with these brilliant bodies of ours that he has placed in our care to really steward. And so I find there to be no conflict when discussing neuroscience and psychology of pain in regards to my faith. It has honestly only amplified, you know, my desire to even exegete scripture when we talk about the soma, which is the physical body or the flesh, and what it means to really function with, like 1 Corinthians says, the mind of Christ. At times like today's interview, I have guests who don't hold the same biblical convictions, but they have a lot to contribute to this topic when it comes to the science and the psychology behind the mechanistic process that is our wonderful brain and nervous system. So of course, before we begin, disclaimer, this podcast episode is for educational and informational purposes only. This is not medical advice. I am not a medical doctor, psychiatrist, or therapist, nor am I trying to be. The information presented is not intended to be a substitute for health and medical care that can be provided by your own physician, medical doctor, or mental health provider, nor is it intended to be used to diagnose or treat any condition. Always seek medical counsel relating to your specific health needs with any questions or concerns you may have, especially before starting any treatment plan, fitness regimen, adding supplements, changing or quitting medication, or making any lifestyle, mental health, or dietary changes. Any suggestion or recommendation mentioned on this podcast is to be taken at your own risk. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with me, Rose. I am excited. I'm so excited. I started following Rose on Instagram because I feel like the content and stuff that you were putting out was so good. And I just found, I was like saving and wanting to screenshot everything. And so I was like, oh my gosh, if I could get this girl to come talk with me, I would be so honored. So I'm so, so honored that you would be willing to. And you're in Virginia.
I am in Virginia at the moment. I'm actually officially a digital nomad. So I'm heading to Lisbon mid next month and then Brussels and then Romania. And then who knows?
Come on. I love that.
I'm living the life.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I feel like because of everything, everyone's been able to figure out how to do everything online. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Man. And it's a beautiful place to be. And having recovered from mind body, being able to decide when I work and when I don't has been just
amazing. Next level. Amazing. Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, I love that. Well, yeah. So can we start? I would just love to hear your story on how you got into the mind body field. And just, I know that you went through your own story with chronic pain and different illness. And so I would just love to hear about it.
Yeah. So what I used to think my story was with pain was that it started in my knee. I, like everyone else on the planet, thought it was physical. I was about to move abroad and I went to a few doctors and they were like, oh, well, you know, try physical therapy. I had had physical stuff before. Physical therapy had worked for me. And I was like, okay, this will go away. No problem. Long story short, it did not. And so I had that knee pain on and off for a couple years. And then I had another big emotional upset. But at the time, my big injury was I was on a recumbent bicycle, a stationary recumbent bicycle, by the way.
Okay.
For 40 minutes. Yeah. And morning I woke up and it just felt excruciating. Like, could not walk a block, could not carry a purse, was just completely flat out. And that started my journey of, you know, doctor to doctor. I went to chiropractics, a few different chiropractics, physical therapists, regenerative orthopedists, and down through the line, acupuncture, acupressure, massage, neurologists, so many scans. I have a bit of a bulging disc. I have a bit of arthritis and my L4, L5 facets in my vertebrae. Different muscles were tight and just really ran the gamut. And every practitioner I talked to kind of had a different interpretation of like, oh, it's because your QL is tight. Oh, it's because your alignment is this. Oh, it's because of this. It's because of that. Yeah. And no one could ever explain to me why I was in such severe pain.
Yeah.
And so I had, I identify in the past, maybe in the present as a high achiever, like used to pushing myself to burnout, you know? And so as I was in this chronic pain, I moved to West Africa. I was working in public health. I was running an office. I would go to work, strap a heating pad on my back, literally with a scarf when it was bad. I would drive home for lunch so that I could lay down for 20 minutes. Wow. And then I would go back to work. And then I'd actually, the last place I lived in Niger in West Africa, which is near the Sahara, if anyone knows where that might be, I actually dragged a mattress into my living room so that when I had friends over, I could lay down. I was like, I'm just not, like, I could not sit. It was crazy. And so I came back to the U.S. because of the changing things in the world. I thought it would be temporary. So I brought an empty suitcase back, being like, oh, when I go back to Niger, I'll bring a suitcase full of cheese, because that's the thing that you do. And long story short, I did not end up going back for a number of reasons. And I had been completely disconnected from the U.S. For security reasons. I'd shut down all my social media, no Facebook, no Instagram. And so I came back and I was like, all right, America, what is up? And so I was scrolling on Instagram and I saw this post talking about curing chronic pain. And I was like, well, that is just simply BS. Like, if there was a cure, I would definitely know about it.
Right.
And so I was kind of mad and I was like, all right, well, let me just click it. And that is really what started my journey of understanding how the brain and nervous system can get stuck in a pain loop, stuck sending those pain signals, even if there's nothing wrong in your body. And now knowing what I know, I realized that my journey with mind body started when I was a child. Like I was surrounded growing up with depression, with anxiety. I was nauseous at night as a kid all the time. No one could ever figure out why. I had headaches in my 20s all the time, like 3 or 4 a week. And I just thought, oh, I'm just drinking too much coffee. No. Right. And then that went away, and then knee pain, and then the back pain, and the pain in the back, it was there every single moment of every single day for 6.5 years.
Wow.
It never went away. And I was so convinced that it was physical. It behaved physical in many ways. Right. But then there were a few, when I came across this mind, body, and neuroplastic pain, I was like, wait a minute, it is worse after a triggering activity, not during the triggering activity. And I was like, wait a minute, I can't work out, but I can go dancing. And that doesn't feel great, but it doesn't make it so much worse. Like, And then reading the, pressure to be good or liked, putting a lot of pressure on yourself. I was like, okay. Wanting to be good, like wanting to control is like, all right, okay, it's me, fine, I get it.
Right.
So yeah, that's what really started my journey. And after I really invested myself, I avoided the work for a little bit until I started listening to testimonials. And then I broke down in tears in my shower and I was like, oh my God, it's me. It's possible. Yeah. I can do it.
It's
super scary. Like, you've been in pain for a long time and it really felt like this is the last stop on the bus. Like, if this doesn't work, then what?
Right.
And moving through that fear and kind of bringing myself to a place where I was like, so I have two choices. Either I accept, all right, I'm going to live in chronic pain forever. Or I decide, nope. Like, this, I am a classic case of mind body. So many clients that I work with within 10 minutes of having a conversation, I'm like, I got your number, right? It's classic for so many of us.
Yeah.
And so when I really started the work, I did it really intensely. And I had my first pain-free moment after 6.5 years in 5 weeks.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow,
okay. And it took a bit more time to completely shift out of that. And I actually had 8 weeks of the craziest anxiety because all of that emotional pain that my body had been holding, it all started coming up. And I was like, whoa, I don't know about this. But I was like, okay, we're doing it. And then I decided to change careers because I realized that what I was doing was no longer supportive to my overall mental, emotional, physical well-being. And I decided to be a practitioner. I had been doing coaching for a while and I was like, all right, I am going to help other women who are exactly where I was, who are feeling like I'm going to be in pain forever.
Yeah.
And shift that and know, like, no, you're not. There are very few conditions that, of course, medical disclaimer, anytime you are in any sort of discomfort, you always want to check with a physician to make sure there's nothing that needs treatment.
Yeah.
But the story that I have from almost everyone I work with is they did all the tests and there's no real reason.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that is what brought me to what I do now, where I work to help other women also break free from pain. I talk about pain the most. But I also work with clients that have IC, IBS, unexplained GI issues, fatigue, anxiety, migraines. Basically, when your nervous system gets stuck in survival mode, it will show up as all kinds of crazy symptoms in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's really powerful. So 6.5 years. And you said, and I feel like probably a lot of people are at the same place, because I think I was at the same place too when I started hearing about mind body stuff. I got really mad. And I was just like, there's no, but I think I was in the same place as you. Like, there's a level of maybe, and maybe you would say it differently, like desperation, I guess, where it's like, literally, if you told me to, I don't know, cover myself in elderberries and jump in a pit of fire, I'd probably do it because, you know what I mean?
100%. I used to say if someone had handed me a hamster and said, put this over your head and it'll make the pain go away, I would be like, hand over the hamster. I don't even care.
Yes. Yeah.
And it sounds like that. Mind, body, you know, neuroplastic pain, psychophysiologic disorder, TMS, the pain cycle, it's all the same stuff.
Right.
And
right.
If you have been in pain and you have seen a bunch of doctors, when you first hear about this, it sounds entirely made up. Like, I had this one woman who reached out to me who had been following me for a while. And she was like, at first I thought you were just going to tell me to drink water and do yoga. And I was like,
sweet girl. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, it's almost offensive, almost kind of, to just be like, you're telling me everything. I think for me, it was like everything I've been doing for the last 7 years, you're telling me like, that was just a complete waste of time, money, resource, you know what I mean? Like all of that kind of stuff. So it's
and painful treatments as well. Like
painful treatments.
Like, this is worse than the pain that I'm in. Like, is it helping? I don't, it felt better a week after, but I think it felt better from not being recently injected.
Right.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned that it feels offensive. So mm-hmm. 2 years into my pain journey, a friend of mine tried to bring this information up, and it was, I was mad. She was like, well, I was looking at this research and this horse was in pain, and then they gave him a bunch of painkillers and he slept for a couple of days and then he woke up without pain. And I was like, I am not a horse. This is not like what? Yeah. And so I'm a very analytical person. My background is in public health. Like science is where I have lived for a long time.
Yeah. And
the thing that allowed me to finally understand that this was true was really immersing myself in neuroplastic pain, neuroplasticity, and how the brain is the ultimate decider of any sensation. Like if you get a cut on your foot, there are signals that go up your nervous system to your brain to tell your brain, hey, cut on the foot. What do you want to do about it? And then your brain sends a signal.
Yeah.
Because people have this idea, and I see this frequently with people who are where we were a few years before, who feel super angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's okay. And sometimes, you know, if they're not ready, it's okay. And I talk with lots of people who are like, as you said, are you telling me the last 7 years were a waste? They weren't, because you would not have believed this. You would not have believed that your brain and nervous system could have gotten so stuck in survival mode that they actually caused symptoms. Because it's in our conventional world, we want to be able to take a pill or have a surgery or have an adjustment. And this is just not like that.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So can we imagine if I was your somebody coming in to see you and you were to, you kind of already started talking about it, but can you describe for us in layman terms what neuroplasticity and neuroplastic pain is?
Yeah. So all that neuroplasticity means is that your brain is constantly adapting. Mm-hmm. We used to think 10, 15 years ago that the brain would develop and then kind of stop when you hit your early 20s. But now we know that the brain continues to adapt throughout life. And so neuroplasticity just means your brain continues to adapt to whatever is around you. And so when we're talking about neuroplastic pain, there are a couple ways that the brain can trigger pain. One way is that even in the absence of any kind of tissue damage, the brain will keep lighting up that neural pathway, right? That road in the brain that says pain, even if it's emotional pain that's at the root. Because emotional pain and physical pain are processed in the same part of the brain. So if you have enough emotional pain, it can actually turn on that physical pain switch. So when we're talking about that neuroplastic pain, one way is that the brain just sends pain signals with no actual like physical manifestation in the body. The brain can also slightly decrease oxygen to different tissues in the body. And that is not at all dangerous, but it does cause a bit of a sensation, a little bit of muscle tension. And then we all know how interconnected the body is. You have a little bit of tension and then you have a little bit of pain and then you go to a doctor who starts poking around and then you have more and more muscle tension because you're guarding. And all of a sudden, when I was in pain, my entire kinetic chain on my right side was so tense because my body was bracing around a pain that ultimately the root was not physical, but my body reacted to it in a way. So for some people, they'll notice that the pain starts around a physical accident. So I'll see some people where they had a surgery or an injury, the injury is healed and they're still in pain because their brain hasn't turned those signals off. For a lot of people, it's actually around a big emotional time, right? So all of the onset of all of my symptoms, it was starting a stressful job. It was moving overseas. It was a big breakup, right? It was all of these big things. But your brain is also very, very smart because it knows like, okay, Whitney's not going to believe that she had a breakup and now she's in physical pain. So it will link it to something. So, so many people are like my story. I was on a recumbent bicycle. Did you have an accident? No. Okay.
Right.
Or I was in a yoga class and I did a pose and I felt this thing in my back and it didn't go away. So your brain will, when you're in that state where you're basically super primed, and a trigger is happening, oftentimes people will identify as like, oh, I had an injury. What was the injury? I did downward dog. Okay. Unless there's any circumstances, that was not the injury. That's what your brain is using to be able to turn on the pain signals. because you have to believe it, right? And one of the big things coming out of mind body of that neuroplastic pain, getting those signals to turn off, is really accepting that your body is okay, that this is neuroplastic and that you're actually okay. This is temporary. This is not forever. Chronic does not mean forever. And I really thought it did.
100%. Yeah, that's really good. You know, I tore my rotator cuffs playing water polo in high school. And it was like how you were saying when we connect events to things. Like when I actually look back, that was a hard thing for me to believe at first, was like traumatic events or even just stressful or even good, right? Like different things that can happen in life. When I actually started to notice the correlation between things, and I remember, like, for me, you know, yes, I'm the classic people pleaser and I'm like the achiever. And, you know, when I have to prove myself is when I get crazy freaked out. And like when I really care about things, right? Like today before this, like anytime I interview somebody, I get a horrible migraine. I was laying down like 2 hours before, you know, and I know why, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, it was really hard for me to really believe that, like, in like this emotional genesis then created a physiological or physical response. And you mentioned before when you were talking about, like, you started to recognize things from your past. Can you kind of go into like the, maybe the purpose, but like how can like the past and maybe repressed or just not even repressed, like things from our past can then help with that response of our brain kind of turning it on when we have an event happen.
Mm-hmm. So your brain and nervous system, the objective of your brain and nervous system is to keep you alive. That's it. It is not to keep you thriving. It is not to make you happy. It is to keep you alive.
Yeah.
When we think about the brain and nervous system, from even when we're in utero, it is constantly assessing the environment. Am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? And so there's this period of priming where we're learning more and more about how hormones can turn on and off genes. And you have the nature and nurture, and we could go on and on for hours and hours about that.
Yeah.
Through this priming where you're a child and you look around you and your nervous system is constantly like, am I safe? Am I loved? Is it okay? Am I safe? Yeah. Am I loved? Am I worthy? Am I good? Am I, what do I have to do for love? Do I receive love unconditionally, or do I have to be a certain way? Do I have to achieve a certain way? And perfectionism for many of us is something that we are subconsciously trained into, because if we get an A, we get a sticker, right? We come home with an A report card and our parents like, yay. And if it's a C, they're like, whoa, right?
So
we are primed through what we experience all of the time throughout our life. And right now, right? Our nervous systems are constantly assessing, like, ooh, is Whitney safe? Is Whitney a safe person? Am I in a safe environment, right? This is the objective of the nervous system. So what will happen for people who maybe identify as dealing with some anxiety or with some perfectionism or with some depression, right? Oftentimes these are things that we pick up in childhood.
Yeah.
Because these are survival instincts. And if we look at what anxiety is, anxiety is trying to forecast the future to protect myself. And depression is trying to analyze the past to troubleshoot so I can protect myself.
Oh, I like that. I've not heard it that way. That's good.
So when we're thinking about that priming, that nervous system and how safe I feel in my body. And for women in particular, we are taught a lot of things through society. You're too fat. You're too skinny. Your hair is too long. It's too short. It's too curly. It is too straight. Like, whatever it is you've got going on, it's not quite good enough.
Yeah.
It could be better, right? And so there's such this emphasis, particularly on women, but also for men, of learning at a very early age to judge the body, fight the body, push the body away, right? And so as you come to a place at any point in time there can be a trigger. It can be a big emotional event. It can be a physical accident that then those symptoms continue over time. And if your nervous system is already kind of on the fence, like, I don't know if I'm really safe. I don't know if I'm really good enough or worthy enough or whatever that root for you is, your nervous system is already kind of on yellow alert, right? Mm-hmm. And that triggering event can push you up into red alert, where then how you interpret what's happening then, if you have a surgery and your expectation is, okay, I'm going to have this, it's going to be painful, and then it's going to heal, it's going to be fine. That's one thing. But if you have a surgery and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be painful, and I don't know if it's going to heal right, and I've had a lot of fear around this, even the fear around it can keep the signals turned on.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's that pain fear cycle is so vicious. And like you're saying, if you're not aware of it, that can be a really hard thing to, can you talk about that a little bit? Cause I just hear all the time, like the more something hurts, then the more that fear cycle's turned on. And then the more that fear cycle's turned on, then the more the pain is turned on. Yeah. It's like, how do I get out of this fear cycle?
Good stuff. So the fear and pain are, as I mentioned, emotional pain and physical pain are processed in the same part of the brain. So fear is also processed in the same part of the brain. And you want to think about pain as a danger signal. So if you are walking and you stub your toe, your brain gets a signal like, hey, toe has been stubbed, and sends you a bout of pain to basically tell you like, hey, don't do that again. So let's say you have a small cut on your toe. Now, after you bandaged it, the pain signals turn off. Your toe doesn't hurt for the 2 weeks that it's healing.
Right.
The pain goes away. If you bump it again, your brain will be like, hey, pay attention to your foot, right? So this is the role of pain. And so if we're looking at pain as a danger signal and how that can get turned on, the fear component is what also lights up the exact same neural pathways in the brain. And so for many of us, when we start going to doctors, that health anxiety starts kicking in, and we see others around us. You know, I had low back pain. My mother had low back pain. My grandmother had low back pain. My uncle had low back pain. And so when I had that pain, there was a certain expectation of like, at first I was like, oh yeah, this is going to go away. And then after 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 6 years, I was like, well, it never went away for my mom. Why would it go away for me?
Right.
So the fear amps up the health anxiety, the fear intensifies that lit up part of the brain. And the more that is lit up, the more intense the pain feels. And the more intense the pain feels, obviously the more fear, because you're like, wow, something's really broken in my body now.
Yes. Is there a correlation? Because you know how when people say, like, you know, the mom that ended up saving their kid, you know, she found the strength to, you know, lift the car off her kid and like nothing hurt and whatever. Is that like a similar, I think we always say like cortisol, or like there's like this, I don't know if you know, but it's just always, I find that strange. Or like, you know, you broke your leg. I had a friend who broke her leg while they were backpacking. And so she, you know, she splinted herself up and she made it out. It took them like 2 days to walk out, but it, you know, she had the, you know, like that kind of a thing. And then by the time they were done, I mean, she passed out, and then her, you know, her leg was killing her and stuff like that. Is that a similar, like, you know, the goal is to like survive?
Yeah, exactly. So the goal is always to survive. And so in that example, it's a perfect example of, her brain had two threats. It had, I have a broken leg, or I die in these woods. And the brain was like, okay, so priority number one, get out of the woods. And as soon as that threat was gone, the brain was like, okay, now for real. Like, so survival is always that number one component. And this will happen for people with suppressed emotional pain, or even emotional pain, or emotional pain patterns they're conscious of. Where that survival, your brain and nervous system actually start interpreting those emotional pains as dangerous enough that it will send you physical pain as a way to contain that emotional pain. Because when you're in pain, you know as well, and anyone listening to this, you think about it all the time, all of the time, you know, every single moment of every single day. You wake up and you're like, how is it? And you go to sit and you're like, how long am I going to sit? You think about it all the time. And so if we think about pain as a danger signal, your brain will also use it as a protective mechanism to be able to keep you safe. And so when we look at that through the lens of perfectionism, high achieving, burning out, well, if your brain learns, hey, the only way that Whitney is going to take a break is if I lay her flat out, then that's what your brain is going to use.
And that's, that's definitely, I was pretty much in bed for a good amount of years, not really getting up because of that. And I definitely found my like safe space, and my body still does that, you know. We're still always on like this journey, you know, because we still have a brain for the rest of our life, you know? So, it's when I can feel myself really being like, oh, I want to go back to bed. Like I can assess myself. And sometimes there's days where I'm like, you know what? Today's going to be a nap day, and just, that's just what it's going to be. And that's fine. And then other days I'm like, you know what? No, like I understand what my brain's trying to do. And I can do this. I'm capable, you know. Doesn't have to be perfect. This podcast episode doesn't have to be the most mind-blowing, amazing thing somebody has ever listened to. It just has to be, you know, your story and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's that perfectionistic mentality is so intense as well. And I know a lot of people struggle with this too. So, and I talked about this on a different episode, but like this hypervigilance to like get healthy and find healing. And so it's, you know, obviously everyone's journey is different, but it's a little similar of like, you know, maybe there was a, you know, a structural diagnosis or, IBS or a mental health diagnosis, certain things like this. Of course, you know, we always check with our doctors first, like you said. And then we go down this route, all the medical route. And then I went down the very alternative route as well. So it was like, you know, when the last doctor was like, hey, maybe either you should just get you might want to just take something for like depression. Like, I don't know what else I can do for you. That kind of a thing. Going back to why it was so offensive. Cause I was like, you're just saying it's in my head. Screw you. Yeah. And then going down the holistic route of like taking every type of food out, doing every single kind of diet, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on treatments, supplements, protocols, you know, just all of that so many people go through. Mm-hmm. And then to start to learn about this, I was the same. Like, I bought every book. I listened to every single podcast. You know what I mean? Because I was like, okay. Like, if I can get healed, it's going to be, you know, because I've learned enough and I did it well enough and all that kind of stuff. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like how the perfectionistic tendencies can kind of hinder sometimes maybe healing in the mind-body realm?
So as part of my program, I offer all the tools and techniques that someone will use and a suggestion of week by week, like, okay, more or less, this is kind of where you want to focus. With compassion being the biggest lens, because trying to force yourself through healing is a trauma response where you're like, it's black or white. It's yes or no. It has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, I'm going to be in pain forever. And one of the first clients I worked with, she hopped on the second call and she's like, all right, Rose, I'm ready. I've printed everything out. I've color coded it. Like, I have tabs. And I was like, okay, let's call her Susie. Okay, Susie. So what we're going to do first is we're going to put that binder away. That is the opposite like of what we want to do. We want to look at these different tools and techniques as invitations to what feels good to me, what feels like an edge that I can push, and what feels like a proper edge where for whatever reason, there's something in me that's like, no, I don't want to do that. And honoring that, because this is living in pain. There's so much where we force ourselves to do things we don't want to do because we want to be normal, or we don't want to inconvenience someone. Like, we don't ask for the extra pillow or the different chair or the whatever. We just suffer and no one can see it. And so we're like, it's okay. And we only speak up when we're in so much pain. It's we just can't. I mean, I remember one time this was ridiculous. So I was living overseas, and I'd come back to DC for training. The headquarters of my company was in Washington, DC. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, great. While I'm here, I'll see my regenerative orthopedist and I will get some injections done. So I had done steroids, passed that, prolotherapy, PRP is what I was doing, okay. Which I don't know if you've had it, but one of the mm-hmm. fun things about PRP is because they're live cultures, they cannot put as much numbing agent in it. Mm-hmm. So it hurts a lot, mm-hmm. a lot. Even thinking about it now, my body's like, I'm sweating because I'm like, oh, yeah, my God, I remember sure. that. And so I went to this training and I was like, okay, no problem. I'll go to the appointment. I'll walk back the three blocks to my office and then I'll stay in this training for the rest of the day. And I was like hobbling. I was in a work dress, hobbling back up. And I got to the room and I was standing there with my hands on the back of a chair because I obviously couldn't sit. And I just felt like I was going to pass out. I was like, Rose, this is ridiculous. Like, go back to the hotel. What? Yeah. Why? Like, there's no reason. Uh-huh. And it was fine, but it was just one of those quintessential moments of how much I was prepared to sacrifice myself to try to fit what would be convenient for others.
Yeah.
And that was such a big unwinding of this as well. And so when we talk about, you know, getting out of pain, or if it's fatigue or anxiety or depression or migraines or pelvic floor dysfunction or whatever it is, so much of the journey, I like to speak from a very like science perspective, because I think for people who are new to it, it sounds like airy fairy woo woo. But really what this journey is creating enough love and safety in your system that your brain feels safe enough to turn off the danger alarm.
Yeah.
And there are lots of tools and techniques to be able to help you do that, both mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, if that's a component for people.
Yeah.
But really at the base, that's what it is. How do I refind, how do I feel safe actually living in my body again?
Yeah.
After fighting it for so long, how do I make it home for me here? And then the pain goes away naturally as a consequence of that. So it's not about, okay, I have to fix this pain perfectly. I have to do everything perfectly. It's creating that safety. And so to get back to your question about the perfectionism of that, when we come at this with a perfectionist lens, it's never enough. It's never good enough. You've never done the tool enough. You don't know if you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. And this is actually an activation of the ego part of the brain that's trying to protect that mechanism. Like, that's my safety mechanism. Don't take that away. So it will throw anything at you. It will throw doubt. It will throw, like, the first belief that people will hit is, okay, this is BS. This is totally not true. And then they read enough about the neuroscience and enough about neuroplasticity. And they see enough testimonials where they're like, okay, it can work, but it can't work for me.
Right.
And then after they're like, okay, it could work for me, and they're in the journey, they've enrolled in a program or signed up with a coach or whatever it is. And then they're like, well, I'm not doing it right. And so there are all of these layers. Yeah. So we can come to a place where we're like, okay, whatever I can do in this moment is enough, because it has to be enough. There is no more.
It's so good. It's because it's I know, I even felt myself get almost like emotional when you're like finding like home in yourself, because it's like we just are so trained to think like safety is out there somewhere and it's beyond my control. And it's like, I think for me, and I know so many of us, it's like, I have to find the one thing that I haven't discovered yet that's going to be the key, you know? Yeah. So like, if it wasn't food, then it's like, oh, of course, it's because I have a deficiency in vitamin or whatever, you know?
If I had a dollar for every glass of turmeric that I drink.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. Just, and it's, I love the highlight of that. I see that a lot as well. It's like, I want that magic bullet.
Yeah.
And the magic bullet to this is trust the process. You're going to be fine. Get the help that you need. Mm-hmm. Right. whether it's a course, whether it's a coach, whether it's just connecting with community, reading a book, like it is possible. But this is ultimately what I say to clients is I cannot heal you. I cannot fix you. I can show you the tools to unlock this yourself. And I can hold your hand as you do it because parts of it are super scary. Yeah, and so much of what I do with clients is just remind them, tell me all the ways that you know this is neuroplastic. Oh, well, all my scans are fine and it's worse with stress and it's worse after a triggering activity. I'm like, if you broke your foot, would it be worse after you walked on it or when you walked on it? Oh,
yeah.
So much of it is just reminding yourself, like, I know I'm okay. I know I'm okay. And internalizing, intellectually knowing all of this, by the way, is not going to help.
Right.
For some people, it does. Some people, they read the book and they're like, oh my gosh, everything went away. I'm like, that's great for you. Right. But if you've read the book and that hasn't happened for you, it's bringing this intellectual knowing into your heart, into your soul, into your gut, where you know, I know that my body is okay. I know that I am safe. I know that I'm good. I know that I'm worthy. I at least know that I am worthy enough in this moment right now. I am safe enough in this moment right now.
Yeah.
That's what allows your brain to feel safe enough to ultimately turn those pain signals off.
Mm, that's really good. So if I was a patient of yours and I came to you and I brought you actual scans showing that there is showing like a structural diagnosis, like you said, you know, arthritis that can show up in my L4, L5 or a bulging disc, or like I tore, you know, my rotator cuff and you could see it on the scan. Mm-hmm. And I went through the amount of time that one, you know, a tendon or a bone or something should heal. But I'm still in pain, but I have proof to show you why. How do you go about talking about that?
Yeah, that is a great question. Look, I have arthritis in my L4, L5 facets. I am hypermobile. I have weird alignment. My hips will go out of alignment. They just like to go their own way. Muscle tension in certain parts of my body. And I can tell at this moment I'm going through some transitions and my body is like, oh my goodness, hold tension in your neck. I'm like, no, no. It's like, what about your back? No, no. What about your pelvic floor? Can we put it there? No. You cannot.
Right.
I will feel my feelings now. Thank you. This gets into very personal territory with people. And so what I would say, if, and I do have some clients that have some different structural things, is at the end of the day, as long as you've made sure you've ruled out any major medical thing with a physician, you don't need active treatment, right? At that point, the physical injury is healed, right? It takes a few weeks, a few months for different things to heal. And if the pain is still there, something else is going on, right? And what I tell people is, look, if you take two groups of people and one of them has chronic pain and one of them does not, and you give them all MRIs and you mix the papers up and hand it to a bunch of neurologists, they cannot reliably sort who is in what group. So there are people walking around that have way more structural things than I do, than you do, who are perfectly fine. And there are people who have nothing, zip, zilch on their skins that are in severe pain.
Yeah.
So that question of structural, once we've ruled out with a physician that, you know, there's no active medical thing that needs to be actively managed, you're just in a pain management scenario. I hate pain management, by the way. Pain management, people are like, oh, you do pain management? No.
No.
That is the opposite. So what I would invite people to do is to reach out to me, reach out to someone else and have that conversation. And I do offer both on my Instagram, a quiz, and there's a free training that you can check this out, as well as an application. And part of that application and the quiz as well, what it'll do is give you about 30 criteria of how are your symptoms moving? Are they worse with stress? Do they move around? Are they worse depending on the time of day? Are they triggered by food, cold, hot, right? All of these different indicators that let us know this is a nervous system conditioned response. Because if it was physical, it just wouldn't act like this. Like if you had a broken bone, that pain would not move around.
Right.
Right. So, and let that be an investigation for each person individually and a choice they make. Like when I was on this journey, I had already had a pain-free moment, but I was still gripped by fear because it was like, okay, well, it went away for a minute. And part of me was like, woohoo, Rose, like, yes, you've got this. It's going to be fine. And part of me was my brain, the fear part was like, what if you're deluding yourself and that moment without sensations was some sort of weird blip? And I talked to a physician because I, for my own analytical, like I needed to speak to an MD who would look at my scans and be like, you're fine. Right. Totally. And he was like, look, Rose, because there was one, I'd gotten an ultrasound and on my ultrasound it was like, oh, you used to have some slight deterioration or a bit of grayness in the tendon that attaches your hip bone to your sacrum. And I was like, well, what about that? And he was like, look, you have two choices. You either choose to believe, number one, you're going to be in pain forever, that there's something broken in your body, even though all these scans, like, no, I didn't look at the ultrasound, but by the way, you already had a pain-free moment. What are you even talking about?
Right.
Or number two, you decide this is neuroplastic and you have the power to come out of it as long as that takes, right? With all of the love and compassion, like you get to pick. I'm not going to convince you. And so that's also what I tell people who, you know, if we're considering working together or if they have questions about this, I'm not here to convince you. I know based on if someone fills out a 5-minute application, I know if I can help them. I know if it's neuroplastic and I know if they can break free from pain. But it's also not my role to convince someone who's not ready to do it.
Yeah, right.
Like that has to be a conviction that someone shares. So that question about the other thing that I would add about the structural thing, particularly for people with autoimmune disease, especially. Anyone who has any level of discomfort in the body, whether it is caused by something structural or not, if you have something structural, you will also get your brain and nervous system. They will become more used to being in pain. The more you're used to being in pain, the more easily the pain is activated. So even if you do have some sort of structural issue, or even if you do have an autoimmune disease, you can feel a heck of a lot better in your body than you do now.
Yeah.
Because you can start teasing apart, okay. And I do have clients where, you know, most of their pain is mind body, but then they did have a reconstructive surgery on their knee, for example. And so how we treat the knee is very different than the rest of the pain. I would never tell someone like, oh, you just had surgery. No worries. Walk it off. Like, no, your body needs to heal. You need to follow care with a physician and make sure that you're taking care of your body. Yeah. But teasing these things out, like what if this is structural and I actually do need to accommodate my body to be able to support it in the most loving way? And what if this is neuroplastic and I can be free from this? Because that fear, when you're in pain, it makes your life smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Yes. Like, Whitney, I was walking upstairs backwards because someone told me, oh, I had this friend and she had back surgery. And they said that if she walked backwards, she'd use different muscles. For like 4 years, I walked backwards upstairs up any incline because my association was so strong. If I walked up, I skipped up 3 stairs once. And while I was doing it, like, okay. Afterwards, the pain was so severe. And the flare was days and days from the baseline of already being in pain, by the way. Mm-hmm. So people, what I wish I could go back and say to myself in this journey was like, don't have to believe this right now. This is here for you whenever it is. But look at it. Like, take a quiz, read the book, whatever it is. See if it resonates with you. And then be open to maybe it's changing. Because those last 7 years, it's not a waste. There's no way that you would have been ready to accept that this is what it was if you had not ruled out the physical things. And you always want to rule out the physical things, by the way.
Right.
Because you want to make sure you're being a good steward of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've done that and you're still in pain or still have IBS or still have IC and you're being told like, well, I guess we can refer you to pain management. There are better ways.
There are better ways. Yeah. Do you find a lot of people, I think, and like you're saying, like, it's not a waste of time. I think there have been times where I was like, either like, how could I not have known? Or like,
yes.
I brought it upon myself. for this to happen, you know? And so then instead of looking at the excitement of the possibility of healing, it's like, how could you have been such an unhealthy person to get yourself into this state?
Ooh, oh, that's such a good question. That makes me write my soul bit.
Yeah.
So this is something that I struggled with and kind of, and all of my clients struggle with this as well, many of them. It's interesting to see how quickly we can go from I'm going to be in pain forever to I found this thing that explains how I can get out of pain, but I must be bad that I didn't discover it sooner. Mm-hmm. I should probably punish myself for that.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
And just accepting, you know, we do the best we can with where we are, with the information that we have available to us. And in the last 5 years, the way that pain is understood has come a long, long way. And it's going to take some time for that information and that knowing to drip down into more medical settings. Like we're starting to see it more and more. We're seeing it more in physical therapy. And there's also a component of if you are taught to be a surgeon and you're taught to cut, you cut.
Right.
If you're taught to inject, you inject. Right. I remember this one neurologist I went to and I had an MRI and I went to two different neurologists because I was like, all right, girlfriend's getting opinions now. Yeah. Opinions. Because I have some Tarlov cysts on my spine. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Mm-mm. Benign, meaningless, nothingless, totally fine. But they happened to be right where I was experiencing pain. And I had gone down a Google rabbit hole. Yes. And I was like, I have to cut these off. This is what. So I was going there seeking spinal surgery because I was in so much pain. And thank goodness I did not do that.
Yeah.
And this doctor just looked at me, you know, legs crossed. And he's like, look, I'm not going to cut you open because it'll just make it worse. Hmm. And have you tried meditation? Hmm. And I exploded into tears. I lost it.
Yeah.
I was like, and there were no tissues in this office, Whitney. There were no tissues. There was his physician's assistant, this lovely woman who was standing there completely bereft, who was like opening gauze to hand me gauze. I'm sobbing because I'm like, all this is each physician. You're like, this could be it. Right.
Right. Right.
And he's just like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I walked out of that office and my pain intensified. And then it shifted from where it had always been in a line down the right side of my sacrum to my tailbone.
Wow.
And now I can look at that and be like, ooh, you were so upset. Your body was like, ah.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, what is happening? Like, this doesn't make any sense, right? Like the Tarlov cyst was compressing my nerve and it's awful. Right.
Yeah.
And so that, all of those moments, we all have those moments. If anyone has been dealing with pain or other symptoms, other kind of mysterious, untreatable symptoms, I see a lot of women with IC or bladder issues or pelvic dysfunction with this as well, because it's a very like, you know, we want it to be an easy fix. And Western medicine a number of years ago, maybe 100 years ago, kind of had this split where it went from looking at this integrative, like, okay, your mental emotional state plays a component in your body function. And now we know that very easily. Like if you are stressed, cortisol goes up, it suppresses your immune function, your GI function, your libido. But those are things that are now integrating something back. And the way that the medical industry has developed in the Western world is such that physicians are incentivized to prescribe, to treat in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they're not trained to prescribe. All of what I do with clients is virtual. All of it is training. All of it is conversation. All of it is different tools and techniques that you can use on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And Western medicine just is not designed to incentivize that because doctors also don't have the time
to sit
and talk to someone for an hour or two. They're like, get in. Okay. You have pain. These are your options. Do you want an injection? 15 minutes later, you're out. Like that is the model that is in part being deconstructed mm-hmm. as science evolves. But the way that, I don't want to say capitalism, but I got to say it. Yeah. The way that capitalism has influenced the right. medical field is such that the incentives are not purely patient outcome.
Totally. Yep. No. And it's, you know, these doctors love people and are genuinely trying to, it's not like it's like all doctors are horrible and just want to make money. And you're not saying that, but it's, you know, I definitely went to a place where I was like, doctors suck. And then I was like, no, I have a lot of doctor friends. Like, no, we're all working with the information that we've been given and we're doing our best to love and help and support people. So for those listening who have been intrigued and they're like, okay, maybe I'm having some, maybe this is not necessarily structural the way I've always thought it was. Is there anything like, obviously, and I'm going to link all of your resources and everything that you provide, but maybe even before somebody were to like add a resource, you know, to their life, like what is something you could say or do today to where it could be like, maybe this is like, maybe this more is my brain and body rather than just like I hurt my knee or something.
Great question. So I would go to the link below and do the quiz. It mm-hmm. will take about 3 minutes and it's going to give you that list of criteria or mm-hmm. what are all the things that you can start noticing to be like, hey, this is actually indicative of a nervous system response. This is not indicative of something structural. Mm-hmm. So a few of the most common ones are it's worse after a triggering activity instead of during it. So maybe you go on a walk and you're kind of in pain, but then a few hours later or the next day, you're in a lot more pain, right? Mm. For some people, it's worse with stress. It's worse depending on the time of day. It's inconsistent in some way. So I could go dancing, but I couldn't work out, for example. Yeah. So just starting to notice what ways is my pain showing up in an inconsistent way is really powerful. And then the other thing I would start to notice is if the symptoms become more intense, instead of asking yourself, like, what did I do wrong with my body? Ask yourself, what thought or emotion was present for me around when this was happening? And just get curious.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose by getting curious about this.
That's good. Do you ever, and this is a personal question, if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. Do you ever encounter like any back pain or anything to this day? And if you do, like, are there any things that you kind of have your go-tos? Or maybe not back pain, but.
Yeah, I had a moment. I had 30 seconds of it today. So I consider myself pain-free at this point. Last week I jumped on a trampoline for an hour with a 7-year-old. So I also know, kind of as you mentioned, like, ooh, when I'm stressed, I get a migraine. Mm-hmm. I am going through some interesting life transitioning to being a digital nomad and lots of other things in life. And I know that my system is searching for safety. Yeah. And I felt the tiniest twinge. And my first thought was, what did I do? Did I hurt myself in some way? And then I was like, Rose, you literally walked 10 steps. Nothing has happened. Like, look at what's going on in your emotional life. And I was like, oh. And then the sensation shifted to more of like kind of an anxiety feeling in my chest.
Okay.
Maybe 15 seconds of a sensation that, and I don't use the word pain, by the way, sensation.
I use the word pain actually, but no, that's great.
That's another whole story.
Totally.
But it's about allowing, and if I could have freaked myself out about that, I could have been like, or I could have beat myself up about it. I could have been like, Rose, you teach people to do this. You say pain-free. You had 15 seconds of a sensation. Is that free? But it's the freedom from chronic pain and knowing in those moments. And all I needed to do, most of the time, all I need to do now is have a 30-second conversation with myself where I'm like, yeah. I know what's happening. I see what this is. And I also keep up with the practices. Like I practice what I preach on a daily basis mm-hmm. because my brain, as everyone's brain, there are lots of ways. Like your brain is 100% all of the time rewiring itself. It's mm-hmm. just, are you in the driver's seat of that? Or is yeah. the news in the driver's seat of that?
Mm, yeah, that's good. And I just think, you know, it's helpful even just for me to hear people, because it's like when people like you who are in this field, it's like you're saying, it's not doing it right or wrong. Like everybody is going to, I feel like Nicole Sachs says, like, there's no freedom from like the human condition, which means like you're just sometimes gonna have pain. Like life just happens, you know? So
right. it's I felt like them too, you know?
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, if you feel something, it's because you're doing something wrong or whatever. So it's a
yeah. I like to look nugget. At it as this is all information that my body is giving me, and yeah. then I get to interpret what that means. Like, mm-hmm. am I actually being a little hard on my body, or maybe my body is like, hey, you haven't worked out in a while. It would feel good to move. Maybe there's yeah. some stiffness, or is it mm-hmm. telling me, hey, you're going through a big emotional upheaval and that feels like a lot. So for this moment, I'm going to hold a little muscle tension instead of you being flooded with emotions. Cause in this moment, that is the perfect choice.
Right.
Like, there's also this thing in healing where like, I have to be healing all the time and I have to be doing it all the time. Containment is also a beautiful thing. Containment and avoidance mm-hmm. are valid tools mm-hmm. where when I work with clients, I'm like, yes, you need to show up and do the work. And also sometimes you need to eat the Ben and Jerry's and watch the Netflix.
Right.
Like that's right. too. There's no judgment associated with that.
Ah, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's really good. Ah, well, I don't want to. I have so many questions always, but I always want to honor my guests and just stick to an hour. But I just, is there anything, just any nuggets of wisdom or anything you would want to make sure that somebody listening could hear in this episode?
Oof, nuggets of wisdom.
I know. There's so many.
So many. But it's just so many things that I learned. If I could go back, you know, 5-10 years and sit myself down and be like, okay, Rose.
Yeah.
Probably what I would say to that version is, you're okay. You're going to be okay. You are good. You're worthy. You have nothing to prove. All is well. Whatever thoughts, feelings, emotions, physical sensations are present, they are temporary. They will change. That is the guarantee. They will continue to change and evolve. And you are powerful enough to drive your own boat and to trust yourself. You know, if you have 18 different doctors telling you 18 different things, like, well, maybe tuning into your own inner wisdom, you are actually living in your body. Right. And so what I would hope everyone would come away with is, if you are listening to this and you, well, if you got to the end, you're probably not angry. But if right. you're, if you're angry and you're thinking to yourself, well, that can't possibly be true. That is a completely valid place to be. There's Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. And if you're listening and you're like, all right, well, I'm pretty sure it's physical, but maybe it could be something else. There's no risk to reaching out.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I have a lot of conversations and some people reach out when they're like, yes, I want to work with you. Let's do this. And yeah. some people reach out when they're like, I've been thinking this is physical for the last 20 years. I started, you know, watching your stuff. I'm thinking maybe it is. And then the conversation is, let's see if we can get you some clarity. And then you decide where you want to go from there.
Yeah.
But you are not in it alone. You are not crazy. This is also a big, like, are you making it up to yourself? No. Are you making it up? No. Is it your fault? No. This is a normal physiological response to a chronic survival state. It is 100% normal. Like all of this pain, this low back pain, this did not exist a few hundred years ago. This was not a thing.
Right.
Right. This was not a thing. So the same way that your brain and nervous system learned this pattern, it can unlearn it.
Yeah.
So yeah, when in doubt, feel free to reach out to me, reach out to Whitney. We're happy to get you some clarity around what some next steps might be. I also offer a bunch of free resources to help people kind of figure out like, ooh, is this for me? Is this not? Because at the end of the day, my passion in this mission is helping others break free from pain when they think that it's going to be forever.
Yeah.
Because that's the more painful thing about chronic pain. Like, yeah, the pain is a problem, but that emotional weight of, I'm not going to be able to hike. I'm not going to be able to run. I'm not going to be able to ski with my kids. I'm not going to be able to play on the floor. Yeah. You know, I work with clients who I want to have a baby, but I can't because I'm in so much pain, right? All of those things, all of that pain of what you have sacrificed because of the pain, all of the things that you've suffered and the fear associated with that. Those are big things. And fear is a potent brain rewirer. Right. And just having love and compassion for yourself. You're going to get through it.
Yeah.
Reach out to whoever you need, try whatever you need, take it in your own time. I think those are the most important things to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's so good. And I like how you just bring a lot of like depth and just like it is a, because it can become so heady, like it makes a lot of sense scientifically. Like it is also really important to remember too, like it's such a, like our hearts, our lives, like everything is affected by this. So there is so much, and I can sense it from you, like so much compassion and so much like there is light at the end of the tunnel. Like you've experienced so much of it. I've experienced so much of it. And I know there's like even more to experience. And so that's just really beautiful. Thank you, Rose. This has been honestly almost like a free session for me too. So so I appreciate it. And yeah, absolutely. I will have everything linked below so that all of you guys can see her amazing resources and get on your journey to healing.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.